sometimes Wednesdays. Hey, Palmer Trinity, this is your host, JT, and...
TJ.
And today we're talking a little bit about talking teaching. So, the first question I wanted to ask TJ was why he decided to start this.
So, I started talking teaching on... I started talking teachings on Tuesdays because Tuesdays are a good day of the week to talk teaching, number one. But number two... When I was in grad school, there was a lot of people I would talk teaching to a lot, and we would just very positively talk about the exciting things we were doing in our classrooms. And that was something that I missed, so I try to trick people here into being my my friends from grad school. So it's a great way for me to make friends, but then also to build an atmosphere for positivity and growth around teaching.
Awesome. So how do you make sure that the tone stays positive? Right? Because we teachers, I think, can sometimes fall into a little rut of focusing on what didn't work in our classrooms or what we don't like about the system or what we don't enjoy about maybe some of our students. So how do we keep it positive?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a lot of we have plenty of meetings where the focus is whatever the opposite of positivity is sometimes. It's here's our problems, how do we deal with it? So I think just clearly stating it and then making sure that people are aware that it is a choice to, positivity is not the default setting. There's the video, This Is Water, David Foster Wallace's graduation speech at a college, and it's a big focus of it is that our default setting is to assume that people are out to get us or that our days aren't great and everything's just blah. But if we can make the conscious choice of trying to see things positively, giving people the benefit of the doubt and assuming best intentions, it's work, but it's work that can be worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And just kind of saying that at the beginning of the meetings tend to just go towards positive. And then I try to ask questions not geared towards what do we do about a problem student, but instead geared towards what can we do as teachers to make the atmosphere better.
Mm-hmm. And just to back that up and... send a shout out to Micah Whitley, right?
Yeah.
I love how he always finishes with make it a great day, not have a great day, but that it's in our power to make it a great day.
Yeah.
All right. So can you tell us about some of the things you've talked about so far in these sessions?
Yeah. So last year we started off, we did a lot of talking about what different pedagogies were and just defining pedagogies. And at the first meeting we kind of did this round table where people try to define their pedagogy with one word, and then they talked about what was exciting going on in their classroom, which teachers have a hard time talking about what's going well in their classes. Sometimes they if something's going well in their class, they'll blame the students. They're very reluctant to say that I'm doing a good thing, which is just modest, and that's good in some ways. But then if we're gonna share with each other what's working well, we probably have to be able to brag a little bit. So we're working on that the first day. And then on that first day, we also talked about some ideas for the classroom that would be probably bad ideas, and then discussing the pros and cons of those ideas. Because a lot of the times, how positivity might not be natural, we have to be intentional about positivity. Also, a lot of the things we do in the classroom might not be things that we're thinking about intentionally. So by asking these bad questions and proposing bad ideas, we might go back to it. We might think that what we're doing is a good idea, but now we have intentional reasons of thinking about that. So mm-hmm. just building intentionality.
So what can you tell me, maybe one or two of those bad ideas that you guys discussed?
Yeah, so one bad idea we discussed, and maybe not bad idea, but just impossible ideas, would be getting rid of the uniform at Palmer Trinity. And it's that's part of our community that we have the uniform, and no one's saying that we should get rid of the uniform, but when we think about what's to be gained if we didn't have a uniform, one of the things might be that students learn how to dress in different situations. So if that's a positive thing that we could get without uniforms, is there a way to keep uniforms and have that happen? And a possible idea someone came up with was that one of the dress uniform days be not a uniform dress uniform day, but not a shred your threads because they're still dressed up, but a come dressed professionally mm-hmm. not in uniform, but in your own clothes. Mm-hmm. So kids get practice of that kind of, like, dressing appropriately for that type of atmosphere. So I thought that was, like, a good idea that came out of a bad idea.
Okay.
Some other, I can't remember what the other bad ideas were, but they were really bad.
I was there that day, we talked about allowing students to maybe use cell phones in class, right?
Yeah.
Or allowing students to call us by our first name instead of Mr., Miss.
Yeah. Yeah. And the cell phone one led to us discussing, like, technology in the classroom overall. And sometimes my students, especially in yearbook, they have to use their cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that, like, we get to do here, although the service is really bad in most
places. It sure is.
Another thing we've talked about a lot is politics came up at the end of last year, and I think we're going to talk more about it this year, because I had students who are conservative and then felt like they don't have a voice here, especially a student who said last year with the walkouts over, like, gun control,
right,
everyone was doing it, and this student didn't walk out, and then everyone was like, well, why didn't you walk out? And they felt like them not walking out, they were being forced to make a bigger statement than the people who were doing what everyone else was doing with walking out.
Right. So, like, but it wasn't intentional that this student chose not to walk out?
It was intentional in that she didn't agree with the idea for the walkout. Like, okay. She was against the idea of the walking out. But no one was, she didn't want to make a protest that day, but mm-hmm. the idea of not protesting became a protest. So she mm-hmm. was, like, forced to make a protest because of her political stance. And I talked to the student further, and a lot of our students are more conservative than, like, I was thinking or assuming. And that seems to be maybe a wider issue to, like, continue discussing, is, like, mm-hmm. conservative students in the classroom. Are we thinking about how they feel in the classroom?
Yeah, making them feel comfortable and participating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a few students make comments about that too, because in English we get to have these types of discussions mm-hmm. a lot in relationship to the literature. And I did have students sometimes say that they didn't feel comfortable expressing an opinion that was not the majority.
Yeah. And then Mosaic, everyone, like, so across the board, everyone who's an advisee has kids talking about political issues in the classroom.
Of course, yeah.
And are there students who don't talk, not because they're quiet students, but because they feel like they're not supposed to say mm-hmm. what they think?
Yep.
And it seems like probably. And then another thing we talked about was risk-taking in the class, and what does that look like? And we've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it means using fire in the classroom a lot. things that might get you fired. No. So, like, what does real risk-taking look like? And it might look like sometimes, like, the thing you want to teach them, they might, if it's real risk-taking, you're trying something new that the students might not connect with or even learn from, like allowing yourself to have sometimes a class that fails.
Because
if you're going to grow as a teacher and experiment, it might involve failing sometimes.
Right. I mean, we tell our students that all the time. Like, don't be upset if you fail. You're going to grow. You're going to learn from failure. So it's a good point that why are we, as the teacher in the room, afraid to take that risk too with them?
Yeah. Probably because we'd be embarrassed.
Probably.
We don't want them to laugh at us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So is that the last thing that you covered in your sessions?
Yeah, pretty much. Risk-taking was the last thing that we really dug in on. We were taking a TED Talk, How Do Good Teachers Become Great Teachers, which had asked students what makes a great teacher. And we were watching parts of the video and then discussing parts of it. And the last thing from that was the risk-taking.
So what's the goal for talking teaching as the year progresses, or maybe even in a few years? What do you see this becoming?
Well, there's some concrete things, I think, and I'll say those. But I also, but the biggest thing would probably not be that concrete, but just like an infectious way that teachers won't shut up about, like, the exciting things that are happening in their classroom, and, like, if you start talking about it and then thinking more intentionally about it, and then like you go to lunch and everyone's just excited about what's happening in their classrooms, I think mm-hmm. that could be like a very exciting thing to be happening. So I think in the maybe short or long term, like just this idea that our classrooms are positive spaces that we can talk about and be excited about, that would be like an ultimate awesome thing that I'd be excited about. And then, so positive, but also like open conversations. Like I said, teachers are modest and they don't like to brag about what's going on in their classroom. Like if something goes well in a classroom, most teachers that I talk to try to think of ways of blaming it on the students. Like, I was just there and the students started doing it, which is true to some extent, but also like you made the space for them to do that. And that's actually something that came up in other conversations that I forgot mm-hmm. to say, is that we are space makers here at Palmer Trinity. Like a lot of the teachers who've been in these conversations blame it on the students, but also are willing to accept blame, or what's that? What's a good thing for blame?
Credit.
Credit, good. Yeah. Credit for like making cool spaces for the students to like do the amazing things that these students are gonna do anyways. But if we make the spaces, they can do it more naturally and they can share with each other.
Yeah.
And maybe they can do stuff that they wouldn't have done otherwise too. So I guess that idea that we're making spaces came from discussions we've had about classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, but taking that and applying it to the teachers in the school, like making, if TTTTT can be part of like a bigger thing of like, that we're all trying to do together, of like making a space where teachers can do cool, fun stuff.
Is this like you're referring to a physical space, or we're talking about just creating, I don't know, a time to talk about these things, or?
So not even a time, so I guess like a physical space in the way of like spaces, like, so my classroom this week was turned, like we finally named it the teen space. And it was my creative writing class decided, because we were going to make these cards with stats for all these characters that they were all going to come up with, and it was supposed to be team space, like Space Rangers or something, but they misheard me and thought I said teen space, so I was like, what is that? So then they had to describe it, and it's these teens who go to like a lounge and are heroes or something, but so they made the cards for these characters, but like, so I guess a space like that, like I guess it's a location,
mm-hmm.
but it's a spirit more. Like teen space, even when they go out to save the day, they're teen space even when they're
out of there.
When they're out of the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like this space being like Palmer Trinity, but like more of a vibe.
Okay.
And like a spirit. Yeah. So that's like a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Is this space, as in Palmer Trinity, is a space where we like are excited about teaching and talk to each other and maybe won't shut up about teaching.
Yeah. So you mentioned a couple of times in our conversation now how hard it is for teachers to kind of brag
mm-hmm.
or humble brag mm-hmm. about what's happening in their classroom. Why do you think that is? Why do we feel bad about talking about the positive things going on in our classroom?
I guess bragging, like, in general is seen as something you don't want to do. Like, it's unprofessional to, like, brag or something.
Yeah.
And we are coworkers, so it is, like, if you're bragging to your coworkers at work, is it, like, look how good I'm doing at my job compared to you or something like that?
Yeah.
That could be part of it. Modesty is a virtue in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how do you kind of navigate that? Where do you find the balance between, let me tell you about how excited I am about something I'm working on versus, I'm such a great teacher, let me share with you what I was able to do?
Well, that's a great question. I think it goes back to space, and then also like a making space, taking space thing. Because if you're bragging a lot about what you're doing, you might be taking up more space than other people. So you're like, if all you do is you come around and be like, this is what's happening in my classroom, and you just talk about what's happening in your classroom, and you're not asking others what's going on and like making a space for them to share too. So if it's like a
exchange.
If it's more of an exchange than like a one-way, like, ah, this is mm-hmm. all the things. Yeah. So I guess that's part of the space. Having a, and maybe that means things like TTT where it's like organized.
Mm-hmm.
So that in trying to, and I've talked in TTT about making space, taking space, and like stepping back, stepping up and stepping back. Like everyone has something valuable to share. So that means like if you're not one who's likely to share, concentrate on stepping up to do that. And then if you're one who's likely to share, which is my struggle, concentrate on like stepping back and making space for others.
Yeah, which is something we teach our students too, like especially in discussion and harkness, allowing others to also have their voice heard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
In that, the TED Talk that we were listening to, one of the things was about how we spend so much time teaching students to read, and a little bit of time teaching students to talk, but there's no classes on listening. So how do our mm-hmm. students learn to listen? Mm-hmm. And do we...
Absolutely.
Do we concentrate on teaching them to listen?
Yeah. I think that's really important and so relevant, I think, today, because there's so much information and so... It's so easy to say what you want to say, mm-hmm. right? On so many platforms, and sometimes it becomes noise. It's like unproductive, you know? So if we learn to kind of listen to what we need to listen and interact with that and question it and say our piece, and that's something that, like in journalism, we teach kids how to do that. Because if you're not listening to the answer the person is giving you, how can you follow up? How mm-hmm. can you really, like, extract the information you really need there? But we don't spend a lot of time in our classrooms talking to students or, like, role-playing that active listening.
Yeah. And then when they don't listen, we're a little surprised, but it's...
Yeah.
We don't...
You weren't listening,
yeah.
little TJ. Aw.
I tried.
All right, so let's do a little teachers talking teaching.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah.
So what's something that's on your mind lately that you would like to kind of talk about?
Well, I think the listening thing we were just saying
mm-hmm.
about how we don't teach them listening, but maybe we can talk about some like ideas, concrete ways for having them explore listening, or and maybe some like... So concrete ways that we could actually, like, listening activities instead of, like, writing
yeah.
or talking activities. And then maybe some, like, best practices for listening in the classroom.
Okay. So have you employed any, like, listening activities yet? Are you thinking about one?
Yeah. So in creative writing... they share a lot of their writing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, listening isn't my strong point. Like, I have ADHD, so sometimes it's not, things aren't clicking, and it's really hard for me to, like, glom onto someone when they're talking. And I have to be honest and ask them to, like, repeat themselves sometimes, and
yeah.
that can be okay to an extent. But it's something I struggle with and work on.
Mm-hmm.
When I know that I'm listening for, like, 30 seconds, and that after that 30 seconds, I'm going to be asked to like answer one question about what's being said. It makes it a lot easier for me. So I have them share short works, and then they know that the person, if you're the person to the right of the person sharing, you're going to have to respond. So they
yeah.
always know that in that case, they're definitely going to have to respond. So they have to like really listen well at that point. So that's something, and I am transparent. About I do talk to them about like how I'm not a good listener, so this is something that helps me, so I'm forcing it on them.
Yeah,
so that's something.
So you feel like it's like a strategy, like if you give them a specific task when they are listening and they know what to expect when that time is over, then they're gonna improve their listening ability. Is that right?
Hope like they're practicing, and hopefully practice turns into like being able to do it longer and better. Yeah.
So I noticed too, like with my sixth graders, one thing that works with them in terms of listening is I'm talking and we're discussing something or I'm teaching a lesson, and I know they don't have a long attention span, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm about to say something important that I really want them to remember, I have to like stop, pause. Okay, are you listening? I'm about to say something really important. Is everybody listening? Raise your hand if you're listening. And then that sort of gives them like a clue, like, oh, okay, I wasn't paying attention, but now she's going to say something that I really can't miss, so let me tune in, you know? And I think that helps also, like, those cues for them, you know? Yeah.
And then, so that's like training wheels for sixth graders that maybe by the time they're getting into high school, those training wheels start coming off.
Right.
And they have to pick up on other cues to know when they're supposed to be listening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are, I think when we're hitting something like a big concept or a definition that they're definitely going to have to grasp in class, I think we move different ways.
Yes.
Like if I'm going to write something, I move to the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't write that much on the board, so they know, like,
it's important.
It's important,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, so there's the listening to the teacher component, and then there's the listening to each other. And then there's listening in terms of behavior, too. Like, in Convo, it's sometimes difficult to, like, sit still and not talk to the people next to you. Like, for me.
Absolutely, me too.
And not look at my phone when I'm in there.
Yeah, and I'm not an auditory person. I'm a visual person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me to process information if I don't see it. Or if I don't write it and see it, you know, and do it. Like, just listening to it, sometimes, honestly, it's in one ear and out the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I can totally relate to how they feel.
It seems like we are teaching them how to behave like listeners in that space, at the very least.
Yeah.
What's ever going on in your mind, you have to at least behave like you're listening,
mm-hmm.
which is a life skill.
Yes.
Whether we like it or not.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's teaching respect also.
Yeah.
Which is part of listening, I think, right? Like, you are having a conversation with somebody. Part of it is waiting for your turn to say something. You don't just, like, interrupt the person and start saying whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Right? Or following, like, the thread of the conversation, making sure, like, your comments are relevant. And that's hard for sometimes students to do.
We just had a leaf blower?
A leaf blower.
We thought you might have a difficult time listening if there's a leaf blower going on. So we stopped it for a second. Another thing I do, and it eats up a lot of my class time. Oh, wait, we were still talking about Convo.
Yeah. So you were saying Convo was a place to teach how to look like a listener, even if you're not listening. But what would be some ways in Convo that would help them actually take in what's happening?
Mm. I think we can model stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And something I do is I do graphic note-taking in Convo because I know a lot of students are, like, sitting around me. So I draw during Convo. I try to draw what's happening in a visual way on the page that I'm drawing on. No student has started, like, copying me doing this yet, but it's a way for me to, like, still be engaged with what's happening and still pay attention with what's happening and not just, like, zoning out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and there's also, like, thinking back to what you said about our behavior in the classroom and how that can signify this is what I'm doing now is important, or what I'm about to say is important, like going up to the board or whatever. There are moments in Convo like that too,
mm-hmm.
When people clap, when people stand up, sit down, when there's transitions in what's happening, I think are some cues for them to, like, okay, listen, or, you know.
Yeah.
And what else? We talked about activities. You mentioned one activity in your creative writing class.
Yeah. Okay. And then another thing I do in class, and not my creative writing class, in my lit classes, is once every, like, however many classes it is. It used to be once a week, but now we can't do that anymore because it's, like, the hour schedule.
Right.
Yeah, so it's once every, I guess, 5 class meetings. Half of class is notable item, where they sit in a circle and they talk about, so this week we did scars. And it was disturbing. They all told a story about, like, a different scar that they had. And one story I heard today, I thought I was going to, like, faint.
Oh, no.
A girl ran into a door? Or, like, she was looking at her sister's, like, stars on the wall that she had decorated. And she was running, and she was only 5 at the time. And she ran in, like, the side of the door, and it cut open her jaw, and you could see her bone.
Oh, God.
But she couldn't see her own bone. But she walked out to, like, see her dad, and she was like, look, and then her dad just, like, passed out, And then her mom came over and started bawling because she was like, you're going to have a scar. And then her sister came over and started vomiting. So it was like this girl who's only 5 at the time, blood gushing from her bone in her face. And then her dad passes out, her mom's crying, and her sister's vomiting. So it's like all the bad things that could happen.
But how do you top that story?
She went last.
Oh, she went last. Yeah. So it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out well.
I actually stole that idea from you last year. Oh, I did a notable item one day with advisory, and we did scars. So they took turns talking about their scars, and they were really into that topic.
Yeah, they love it. I kind of hate it after a while because it's like, no, this is also horrible.
Yeah.
But they also, like, in the notable item space, they do a good job listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of loosen up the reins in terms of them, like, talking. Someone will tell a story, and then someone else will make a joke, which is often just a joke is connecting two stories together, which is awesome. Like, oh, your face was cut open, and you see your bone, just like how we could see the inside of her toe or something, because one girl's toe came off.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But so, like, talking about, like, the inside of a toe, is that the same as the inside of a jaw? And it's like that means that student was listening and is able to, like, make that
connection. Making a connection.
Yeah. So yeah. You build, like, inside jokes, and maybe that's part of, like, encouraging listening, because sure. They're in on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with these chairs, I'm in the new rooms with, so if you don't know, on the thing, we're spinning in the cool new chairs, and we ditch the desks, and they're just in their chairs in a circle facing each other, and so there's nothing between them and the rest of the people in the circle,
mm-hmm.
and it's vulnerable, and it's weird.
It's intimate, yeah, in a way. Yeah.
It's like a campfire.
Right.
But they do a good job listening and sharing in that space. I do it a lot. I ditch the desks. Because
mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like they might use the desks, like they have their computer up in front of them, not because they're using it, but because it gives them something to, like, default to. Like,
right.
if the conversation gets, like...
To hide.
Yeah, they hide. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Mm. All right. Well, sounds like a great topic for one of your next sessions, which, by the way, when is your next session?
It'll be the Tuesday of the next full week. So that's...
We have the Tuesday of the next full week, people.
Which is, I can see
real I don't bad. Even know.
But what I, can I, if one thing happened from, one thing that I would love to happen this year, and it's like it's a developed project that'll probably be hard, is called Swappy Swap. And what it would be is like a few days in one of those lull months. What are the lull months?
Right before we go on breaks, I think, those long breaks.
Mm.
Sometimes when we're sort of slowing down and we don't want to introduce something new because they're about to leave us for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is.
Which is perfect because that's a time when, like, this kind of thing would be... Because it's supposed to be a fun thing for the kids, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is Swappy Swap, where teachers swap classes for a day. So, like, I might swap with a science teacher, and the science teacher comes to teach English, and I go teach science. And that's, like, risk-taking, and, like, you really try to teach the thing that day. But because I might not know science, if I go teach physics, I don't know it that well. So it'll end up I'll be having to ask the kids a lot of questions. So that's them...
Teaching you.
Teaching me. So they might learn a lot from that experience.
That's pretty cool.
It's chaotic and risk-taking, and fun is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, it sounds like a fun to me. But it should be fun to the kids, too.
Or even as you're saying that, I'm thinking about different connections between the disciplines. Like, if I had to go into somebody's math class, let's say, I could maybe bring in a poem, but we'll talk about, like, the math of it, like the counts, the beats per line, or how many lines are there, how many lines in a stanza, or, like, the structure of it, I guess.
That's a good idea. And if I went in a science class, I could use fire. I could just light things on fire.
You could.
And talk about how it's like literature, because look, it's on fire. We could do Fahrenheit. Whatever.
Whatever that is.
It's a big number. What's that book? Fahrenheit 411? No. That's like a...
Four something. I know the number 4 is in it. We're terrible English teachers.
So the next full week isn't until... So this week isn't full. That week's not... So wouldn't it be until October 2nd? Does that sound right?
October 2nd?
Yeah, wow. Because this week's short, next week is short, and the week after that is short. So October 2nd is going to be the next meeting.
So we hope we see you there, October 2nd, 4 o'clock.
P.M.
P.M.
room X103.
X103.
This has been, should I do an outro?
You totally should.
Oh, wait, no. This has been Teachers Talking Tuesday.
And sometimes Wednesday.
How do you think that went?
So that's a wrap-up of episode 1 of Teachers Talking Teaching on Tuesdays and sometimes Wednesdays, the podcast. Thanks for listening, and we hope to catch you next time.